Welcome everyone to the world famous, world renowned It's the Wrestling Show. I know you've missed us, and I actually do think people miss us when we're on like this for quite a while, because I hear all the time, hey, when are you guys having a show? My name's Cab Manning. I'm from the Lingus Mafia podcast, as you well know, at Lingus Mafia, and I am with the man you love to hate. That's Mr. Billy Body.
I don't think they hate me.
No, not the ones that listen. Well, but then again, I'm sure the people that fake say they don't listen, you know, they're the ones who hate you. You know, those people that say, I hate that fucker, I never listen to him, but meanwhile, they're fucking listening to every fucking word.
Yeah, I think that, like, there's people that hate us to 100% listen. People that think that they are pretty important in wrestling.
I'm pretty sure about that, and especially little guys in Arizona for the most part too. Oh, so what
the thing is still doing a fucking podcast?
Don't know. I have not listened. I have not checked in on them. You know, and I got no problem to say here and there. I would back in the day. I mean, I haven't done it in a very long time since we last talked about that. That I've checked on Steel Cage to see if. They're still even doing a show. Who's on the show still? I have no fucking clue. It's been a very fucking long time.
So I remember, like, you were just a guy who always just wanted to be on the show.
Always just want. I was just, I foamed at the mouth. I could not wait to be on the Steel Cage. I said, I would have so much to offer this lovely program. And then, you know what's great is I should pull up that fucking interview I had with old fucking HTJ, Horse Tooth Jackass Derek Montilla himself, when he was on the Lingus Mafia podcast. And you know, I we should have him canceled because he talked about women in a degrading way with me. Can you fucking believe it? Mr. High and Mighty, but he was talking about, you know, how rape worthy Lana was. So
he stole my word. He stole my
he stole the word that you stole from Sammy Guevara.
No, he. Oh, did he say rape worthy?
Oh, Sammy Guevara.
He didn't say rape worthy. He said, "I want to." He said, "I want to."
I thought he said she was rape worthy.
No, that was me. I said.
Oh,
that.
Okay. Shit. See, I've got it all confused. Yeah, he said.
He said, "I straight up want to rape. I straight up wanted to rape that woman."
That's even worse. Rape worthy sounds better. That sounds classier than I would like to rape that woman. Oh my God, that is so great that he fucking. I'm like, and meanwhile, didn't he just get fucking engaged? So he had we had a woman this whole time.
I couldn't believe that. I didn't. That woman was very odd. It's like she had. Yeah. I thought it was like a Make-A-Wish person.
Maybe she was.
I think she was just acting weird. Like, I think she was just not comfortable with it or where she was.
It is interesting seeing a lot of people's spouses and stuff like that. That is an interesting thing. Because some you're like, what in the world? And then some you're almost like, I've never seen anybody that everyone agrees and just goes, yeah, that's probably about right. Because either it's you think, this guy doesn't deserve this hot fucking woman. Or you go, yikes, what's he doing with her? There's a lot. It's a lot of that. And it's vice versa, because you say the same thing about Sasha and her husband.
Right.
That's always a what the fuck is this?
I think Drew and his wife's about right.
I've never seen her.
Oh, he can Google her. Put Drew's up. Yeah.
I mean, well, he was with Taryn before. Yeah, that was kind of right, because he's not some fucking uggo or anything like that.
No, he had more hair back then.
It is odd because it's not like he's a fucking bald guy or like it's completely see-through or anything, but it does look like something's going on. I don't know. Maybe he need to get Hims and he could start to grow it back or keep it.
What's Hims?
It's a pill to grow your hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one day you'll be taking Hims. Don't worry about that. So this week on the world of professional wrestling, I must tell you, Billy, I must say, I watch AEW religiously now. I don't miss a show. I mean, I don't watch that dark bullshit. But the Wednesday, Friday, I watch. Before, I didn't watch at all. Fausti would say, hey, there's a cool segment you should watch. Did you watch it or something? You know, and half the time I go, oh, I need to. And I would never do it. I just wouldn't get around to it. I didn't care. And it's weird because it's almost like their main people, they're kind of phasing out. Like, where's old Hangman Page at, by the way?
Oh, he's out, like, at the moment. It's because he lost a match to get a title shot. He took a break.
Oh, he's out with a break. Okay. Did you watch, and we're not even talking about WWE at this point, did you see this week that Paige VanZant was there?
Yeah, I was going to point it out to you. I thought it was a bit of a waste.
I had a big problem with it. And what my problem was, I told Fausti, I said, do you see that yet? And he says, no. I said, Paige VanZant is on the show, and she's fucking awful. And he wrote to me the next day, and he goes, I understand exactly why you said she's awful. I say, she's in there, and she's doing two characters at the same fucking time. She's in there laughing that she's in a wrestling ring. You know, it's, oh, this is like, she's embarrassed almost. And she's a horrible fucking actress. And she's sitting there, like, just standing there with a smile and laughing and giggling. And then she's turning into the character of a bad guy, telling people, come on, come get it. And I go fucking crazy from it, where I'm like, if you don't know how to fucking you got to learn how to fucking do this. So, and she's looking thicker than a Snicker, by the way. Have you gone to Reddit? I send you all those pictures all the time with all her pictures. I laugh. She charges people $75 or $100 for a fucking picture. Meanwhile, they're all over fucking Reddit for free. But she's in there doing that bullshit. And I'm like, fucking go one way or the other. Don't fucking laugh at it like it's a fucking embarrassment that you're there. And then fucking try to break into a fucking character. When I think that guy on the microphone, what's that fucking guy's name? Dave Lambert? What's his fucking name? Is that his name? Fuck, he's good. He's fucking good. I laugh every fucking time. I laugh because all the shit that he says is pretty much true. So I'm always surprised they allow it.
Yeah, well, I think that's what he wanted to come in and do. So, I mean, I wonder how they stumbled upon this, because it feels like a stumbled on thing where they, I mean, how do you know that this guy can cut a promo like this?
Yeah. He must have told. Because I was like, I don't know who the fuck he was. I saw him the one time and I go, oh, they just brought in a real guy who trains MMA people. And he just did a good promo. It's like, you know, when Pete Rose comes in and talks shit and then gets killed. I thought that was all that was. I was like, fuck, this guy's in here every fucking day. I'm like, who is this? So it's interesting to see. I really wonder, I would love to know some behind the scenes stuff at that company. Like how it works, as in, I know Tony Khan is the, you know, he's head of creative, as they say, but I really truly believe he asks them, what do you want to do? Do you have ideas? What do you think for a storyline? What do you want to fucking do? And I think it's the old school. The wrestlers are coming up with fucking stories and he thinks, okay, is this good? Is this shit? Here's a bullet point or two that I want you to say in a promo. I want you to attack the fact that you don't like this guy. This is who we're going after next. Other than that, you have 5 minutes. Do what you want. I think that's how they conduct themselves. I mean, obviously, I don't know, but I think that's the case. And if it is the case, I don't know how people would not want to work there.
Well, because it's overcrowded and there's only so many spots that you can have.
Do you think they're going to start like just pushing their little guys out that are nobodies, like, okay, you can go away. We have other people.
I think they'll just put them on that dog show where no one watches them.
Yeah, I mean, I keep seeing this Dark Order thing, like they're crumbling and dissension in the ranks. I mean, is this as clear cut as possible that Bray is showing up to bring them together and, you know, be the leader in that force?
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, that's all I think of. I think it's falling apart. No one can be. There's no leader now that their guy died. And Bray will be the fucking new fucking head nigga in charge. And they'll fucking take it from there.
That's interesting. I didn't even think of that. Hmm. I didn't think about it.
I thought that was actually a fucking pretty obvious thing. I'm glad you didn't think about that. Not only I did. So on to with Raw. And by the way, do they call Billy Gunn Billy Gunn? Or is he by Kip over there? I've never heard them refer to him. I only just hear the Gun Club. So I'm like, is he using Billy Gunn over there? And if he is, how is he able to do that?
Because maybe they didn't register everything back then. And he was over, and he went away and used Billy. I wonder why he changed his name to Kip.
But that's just like his real name is like Kip Sopp. It's horrible. And he was doing that in TNA.
So how are his kids the Gun Club with Austin Gunn and all this stuff?
Because that's not you can't just say you can't use the word gun as a fucking name. Anyone could fucking do that, but I think you can't say Billy Gunn. That's copyrighted. You can't say nobody could use the last name Gunn. Because, then you can't use the name Cole anywhere else, you know, and shit like that.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. If he wasn't Billy Gunn, these kids wouldn't be Gun Club. They'd be Sop Club or whatever.
You know, I would love to know what the fuck they're, if he's called that or not. But I think it's interesting that he's with his kids in there and they're, you know, good size and all that kind of shit. So, and Billy Gunn doesn't age really. His hairline recedes a little bit, but he doesn't fucking age, which God bless him. So on Raw, we were teased on Twitter, and I will say they did get me. And I don't know if that's a plus or a minus, to tell you the truth, because we get Big E saying, I'm cashing in tonight, just so everyone knows. And the whole show, he says, I'm cashing in, just so you know. After this match, I'm cashing in. So what you think is, it's the funniest thing, because on our little message boards for each other, I say, oh, you know, this is a fucking, this is so you watch the show. I'm still not, fuck you, you know? And then I see the memes all over the fucking place that it's Vince going, please watch my show. So it was a ploy to, like, just watch the show. We have to tell you this to hope you watch the show. But they're so fucking dysfunctional that I didn't even realize it until you said it on the thread that they had a giant fucking tag team turmoil, a whole tournament that took up the entire Raw to have a tag team title match the next week, and they just go, fuck it, we're not doing it. It is fucking amazing how bad this company is and how fucking inept and fucking disgruntled everyone is there, how disgusted everyone is with everything that's going on. It's a fucking disgrace what this company's become.
I agree with you. The fact that all these contracts are coming up and nobody is expected to re-sign pretty much says all. They're not even guaranteed to be going to the other place. That's by no means a guarantee at all, because they're getting really fucking full over there.
Yeah, they're full.
That's still the situation. I think people would rather take their chances at fucking TNA or the Indies or NWA or whatever. Like, it's just...
I would say AEW or bust. It's like, it's the two. There's... I don't know. I mean, you could pay me enough to go to TNA, but you'd have to pay me a lot. There's four people in the audience.
But that's the... That's the whole point, though. Like, that's the difference in terms of, I'd rather do this than this, this, and this, as opposed to having to deal with this work environment on a daily basis, or dealing with this boss.
Do you imagine if this Roman storyline or character, just character, not even storyline, you imagine if this is not going on, how fucking lost this company would be? Because flat out, that is the only reason to watch. I fucking love when he is on and doing his shit. Like, that gets me to watch. So, and then I started thinking, do you think this, I don't see how in the future he is able to not be in title fucking storylines. Can you imagine this character being, okay, well, now, you know, we switch him away from the title for a couple years, you know, to fucking fight other people or whatever. I can't imagine, it doesn't work with the character. He has to be the top shit.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think by that point he would be a babyface, because you know their ultimate goal is, oh, let's fucking earn him again and let's see if we can fucking get people cheering him and selling fucking gloves and shit again. That's what they'll be thinking as quick as they possibly can do it.
But does he stay that same character? Because that's why people fell in love now. He can't go back to, you know, I'm Roman Reigns and punching the floor. You notice he never has done that ever again, I don't think. Does he fucking stomp, you know, do that Superman punch to the floor? I don't even think he does anymore.
I have no idea.
I don't think he cocks his hand before he punches people. I think that's stopped. I can't remember, though.
Do you reckon he could go, like, he could middle it out somehow?
Oh, God. I mean, I almost think he could just stay the same and just fight fucking bad guys, though. I mean, because it's like Austin. Fucking never changed. He was still fuck you. He just fought a different guy.
You put him with Heyman on. Did you keep him with Heyman as a babyface or not?
You know, the Heyman thing isn't necessary. I like it and I prefer it, but if he was a good, I don't think he needs it, because I mean, Paul doesn't really speak for him now, you know, right. So it's not like he needs a mouthpiece. He's always talked for himself, but the subtleties of carry my shit, all that kind of stuff is really good. So
I think, like, more to your point when you said, what would the show be without him? Mm-hmm. I think when you look at the fact that they went into Madison Square Garden, now Becky and Bianca is the only other real relevant thing, and that was shoved into the middle of the show. If you look at what that was bookended with, it's Roman coming out at the beginning, and we do that whole confrontation with Brock Lesnar. Mm. Then we have the fucking Roman thing as well at the end with Finn Balor. So it's like your whole thing on the show is you're setting two things up around Roman. You're going to have Brock versus Roman in Blood Country. And then you're going to have Balor and Roman at Extreme Rules. And you're going to have the Demon come out. And the intrigue is obviously that the Demon doesn't lose, but he'll lose to fucking Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Roman will find a way to beat him. And if you had any doubt and you're thinking, oh, the Demon's never lost and maybe they'll switch the belt quickly, WWE said, nope. Don't fucking believe in that little fucking painted midget, because we're going to announce Crown Jewel today. We're going to announce it today. Don't get your hopes up. Just watch it. There's just Roman's going to squash this fucking spray painted midget. Don't worry about it. We only care about Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, and the Saudis get the match because they pay us more. They pay us the most money. Fuck you getting this match in America. Like, we're not bringing Brock Lesnar in time to wrestle at SummerSlam in the main event. No, we're fucking bringing him back at SummerSlam so he wrestles in the real main pay-per-view of the year, which is fucking Saudi, because they're the ones fucking paying us $40 million for one show, which has somehow always managed to be shit, because there hasn't been one good pay-per-view. You can have Tyson Fury versus Braun fucking... who else did they put on their fucking show? They put someone, they had fucking Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar.
Oh, I forgot about Cain Velasquez.
They crowned the best in the world. They've had 40-man Royal Rumbles. So the Fiends won the title there. Fucking DX versus Kane and Undertaker.
Well, that was a fucking match.
Goldberg couldn't end the streak, so he tried to end the Undertaker's life by dropping him on his fucking neck. All of these incidents have happened in fucking Saudi Arabia. And of course they had the fucking hostage situation where the fucking main guys, fuck this, like, we're getting out on the fucking private plane. If you guys die, don't worry, we'll rebuild the company with NXT.
Wow. Part 2.0. Fuck. And speaking of, I have not watched it. I watched the opening. And so I've seen it, and I've seen, like, the pictures of, like, somebody else as the champion now. And all
the issue that people have, fucking, they have Rex Steiner, who's, like, Rick Steiner's kid.
Yes.
And he looks fucking really good. And they renamed him as Brad Baker or some bullshit. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
And the instructions are to not acknowledge that he's second generation. Like, to have some issue with the fucking Steiners, which I didn't even know about.
Which, then why would he even be there if they fucking are that kind of a hard-on for him? You know, it is odd because that's the beginning I see, right? I see old LA gear out there with this guy who is in the back, right? And I have no fucking idea who he is, anything, right? And I see him, and I go, wow, he's wearing a singlet, and he looks exactly like fucking Rick Steiner. That's wild. I'm like, and then I go, I wonder if, like, this guy is his son or something. He looks just fucking like him. And then this morning, Fausti said something like, why would I have to fucking change his name? This is still so fucking stupid. And I'm like, they do this. They have to fucking change. It's so fucking dumb. And it's just, it's what they fucking do. They are known for it. Now it's almost like, I don't even know why we're surprised by it.
I'm not even sure his real name is Rex Steiner. I think Rex Steiner may have been maybe his wrestling name. I don't know enough about it, but I know that he was Rex Steiner, and now he's
isn't
not.
It isn't Rex Steiner the fucking full last name, the real last name, Rex Steiner? It's not Rick Steiner. It's actually his last name is Rex Steiner, and it was Rob Rex Steiner. And so maybe that's why they fucking, I'm like, but still, what the fuck?
It's fucking stupid. Like, and to call him like Bob Barker or some bullshit, whatever they fucking call him. It's ridiculous. The show, the show was fucking boring. Not as boring as Raw, but it was fucking boring. I watched it and it dragged along. They were bringing out these new guys.
What do you think of my girlfriend out there?
It's the old guys. Yeah, I didn't like that either. Like, she looks really bland with her dark hair.
Yeah, I don't like her dark hair either. I like a blonde.
Because she doesn't have, she was like the whole, her face wasn't like unbelievably beautiful. It's similar to, whereas Carmella's not, but Carmella fucking somehow pulls off you wanting to fucking, being rape worthy a lot better than Mandy does. I've never found her to be overly rape worthy. You can tell, you wouldn't kick her out of bed, and you can tell that obviously you look at her and you ain't turning a channel when she's on, but, and she's a lot more obvious to the eye than a Sasha, who obviously resonates with the wrestling fans. But I don't know, for me, it's still so much more. Carmella does a lot more with less, but recently as of late, since she's come back, like, I think fucking Becky looks really good.
Like, she got in better shape after she had a kid, which is very odd. Like, her stomach is fucking better.
Oh, I know a girl that did that too. Like, there's a girl who's fucking had two kids, and she used to work with me as a shot girl. And I'm not saying she looks better than then, but the fact she's got her body to where it is, I think she does look better than then, because she was skinny before, and now she's fucking turned herself into she's fucking toned up and everything. I got to show you this girl, like, while we're recording. But yeah, Becky looks fucking really, really good. I'm not sure about the fucking, the heel thing. Because now, after this week's SmackDown, where she was turning around and going, how can you be doing this? You cheered for me and all this shit. It does seem like she's turned into a heel, which is very weird, because I don't understand that everybody wants her to come back, and she comes back as a heel. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, you didn't get anything out of that return, especially when someone comes back from fucking having a child or whatever. It's like, who wants to boo her? Nobody wants to boo her.
Yeah.
Like, so, and I would understand it if it was a case of, oh, Bianca's doing amazingly, Bianca's really over, we can't have like two baby faces in here, like, we want to see a match between you guys, but one of you's got to be a heel, and we can't flip Bianca right now because she's going so well. I'd understand that if she was a fucking money-making machine, but she's awful, and she's not, and they were like piping in EST and all that kind of shit. It's like they're forcing it down your throat now. This is the complete opposite way that this should have been done.
It is odd that Becky's a bad guy now, where we thought originally we were like, well, she's just being herself and she's just doing the Austin thing. Now it's like, you know, okay, let me see. Now it's that above and beyond bad guy deal. Let's see. Holy smoky. Good Lord. That's not bad. I don't know why she tattooed her thigh. Fucking ruin herself.
You hate this tattoos for everyone though, don't you?
I don't. I mean, there are places to put a tattoo, but on your fucking thigh makes no fucking sense. Yeah, she's good, and you know what? Do you think she's hiding her belly a little bit with that fucking outfit she has?
Where? What one? The.
Like, if there's a strap across her belly, for her lingerie. Oh, I didn't see. There's a second one. Whoa, God, good Lord, Jesus. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
Where you can see her belly, and it's not covered up. It's not got any marks on it or anything. So,
Yeah, that's a top of the line, I must say. So the Becky deal, like, they shove it down your throat that she's a bad guy. Like, she has to, you know, tell people you're an asshole and shit like that. It's like, okay, I guess she's a bad guy now. But I'm like, she's wearing the same outfits as Seth Rollins. They go shopping, same store.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was a weird thing with that fucking jacket and stuff. I preferred it in the other weeks where, oh, she's a bad guy now, so she's going to come out and be hotter, where she started wearing, like, fucking... I'd never fucking seen her belly button before, even in her fucking wrestling outfits. Now she's had a fucking baby. It's a case of... I think it's a case of where people go, all right, I'm going to lose this baby weight. And they'd be like, oh, I did it. It wasn't that fucking hard. Like, you know, 12 mm-hmm. pounds of it was like water and shit. And then it's like... fuck going on here? So then it's like fucking, you know, then it's like they get obsessed with it. They get into like this routine. It's like, oh, I'm going to show them. Like, I'm going to, everybody's going to be amazed. Like, you know, because then it's like a case of, you know, after you've had a baby and you get into shape, everybody's going to say things anyway, right? But it's like they want to get back into amazing shape. Like my son's mum got back into shape without really doing too much. She just fucking got back onto a normal food and just the whole... looking after the whole baby thing. It was just like, you know, just it left. If you're skinny and you have a baby and then you don't fucking turn into a pig, like you get skinny again. But I think she wanted to like fucking really go for it. And I think that makes a big difference. And you see this a lot. You see this with certain people, like who get pregnant and then they don't want the fucking stretch marks and all that kind of shit. Like, and they decide to, and these things are preventable as well. I think you can do things during pregnancy to prevent stretch marks and things, but I think to a lot of people, like, they're reactive to it, where they think, oh fuck, I look what's happened to me, or I don't want these things on me, and like trying to get rid of them or whatnot. But I think there's nowadays where there's creams and all kind of shit. It's like, you don't see fucking celebrities with stretch marks and stuff, because when they're getting pregnant, they're turning around and making sure they take every kind of fucking precaution, and they research into everything to say, like, if I'm going to have this baby, how am I going to get out of it by looking exactly the same?
Yeah.
And some women are just fucking terrified of it. Like Jennifer Aniston, I don't think had a baby because of her career or because she couldn't keep a man or whatever. Fucking the irony is fucking Rachel, the ultimate girlfriend, is unbearable to be with in real life. Who would have thought? But I can see why now, when she fucking came out and said, oh, I don't hang around with my unvaccinated friends anymore. And I thought, fucking hell, what a moron.
So, Big E wins the title. This will be the last thing we talk about, then we can get the fuck out of here. Big E wins the title. And after telling us the whole time he's going to, you must have been thrilled for him. Billy, you must be very excited.
It's not like fucking that. This is about more than the fucking hatred of the New Day.
I think it's bad timing is what this is, because why would you interrupt this run of Bobby Lashley where he's an unbeatable fucking monster? Unless he just takes this fucking belt right the fuck back. But I think this is okay. Now Goldberg can fight fucking Lashley without the title being involved.
Like, there's so many things to say. So first and foremost, you don't do this just because AEW is getting hot, because this don't get you hot, because the last thing we need is Kofi Kingston's title run again, but this time it's the other guy. I mean, this guy, this time, this is the guy, I don't know if you know the story, but like fucking Mustafa Ali was supposed to win the title at that WrestleMania and he got injured. So they wanted to like pipe someone in, and their choice was like Big E. And they said, oh, you know, we're going to go with Big E. And he was like, oh, you should go with Kofi instead of me, because like Kofi deserves it. So they ended up agreeing to that. So that was what ended up happening, where Big E was the next choice because they were always going to get to him. So there's an inevitability about that, that we would have to suffer through this anyway. But the thing is that it didn't have to be suffering. Like, if it was Big E from NXT, it would have been fine. And they were going on the right path there with the talk and all that. And I thought, shit, they realized this fucking New Day bullshit with this dancing and this laughing and these pancakes and all that isn't going to work. But then they went back to it. They got rid of the talk. They went back to more stupidness. He's there with the money in the bank. And he was doing that thing where he was laughing at Paul Heyman. And I hated. Like, me and Austin were just looking at each other. Not Steve Austin. We don't watch wrestling together. but we would just look at each other and go, this is fucking stupid. Like, this is not a main event character. And that's my issue with him, in terms of, it's not a fucking thing in terms of his body, his serious promos, fucking another fucking black person, because only black people are winning this belt now. But yeah, it's not that at all. It was just a case of, like, the way he was written and portrayed, it was like every time one of the New Day win it, it's an extension of the New Day. It's literally a case of, oh, you're in a New Day. Oh, and now the New Day hold the fucking WWE title. It's not like fucking Big E, the big fucking weightlifter with charisma, holds it independently. It's Big E with his fucking New Day shtick with pancakes and all that kind of bullshit and being a fucking black clown without the makeup. Like, that's the issue. And the thing is that if you think this is going to be an answer to generate ratings back, you immediately got told it wasn't. 1.67 for the win on the ratings. So how the fuck are you going to do any better next week? I mean, AEW have a really good chance of winning next week because the NFL's on Monday. It's Green Bay's game. It would be better if it was Green Bay versus fucking someone.
Yeah, it's a trash game. Yeah, that's for sure. But I think the intriguing part is, let's see if Rodgers bounces back or his shit.
Yeah, so they're so close now. Like, AEW did like a 1.3 last time. I don't know what they did on Monday, but I'm talking about, or what they did yesterday, but I'm talking about last week, they did a 1.3. They're going to do better than that at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Mm-hmm. So if they do 1.4 and WWE lose any more viewers, like, these two are going to be so close this week. I don't think anybody's going to be interested to tune in and see, oh, the show opens up with New Day or fuck it, and then someone fucking comes out and they end up in a fucking six-man tag with Bobby Lashley and MVP and Shelton Benjamin or some bullshit, which is probably what they'll do. And then all of a sudden, when you're watching Raw, it'll be straight back into, like, all of these fucking matches that go across ad breaks. When you watch AEW last night, they had matches on there, but they got so much better now at breaking up the show with promos. I mean, MJF is fucking Attitude Era level. Like, what he was saying last night, he goes, I'm going to talk to Brian Pillman. He looked at the sky and then he went, hold on. He goes, who are we kidding? And he started talking to the ground. He went, hey, Brian.
Yeah. And the thing, though, is I saw it coming. I'm fucking, you know, a mile away, because as soon as he looked up, I said, oh, he's going to say fucking, you know, because who did that with Eddie? They said, oh, you're praying the wrong direction.
Orton. He goes, Eddie ain't Eddie's down there.
Yeah, that was good.
But that's the thing. I think that was good. And everything that we like, which is appealing to adults, is in the past tense. It's like, oh, that was good, and this was good, and CM Punk came out and mocked Paul Bear when he died.
Gold.
And he mocked Lawler's heart attack. And this was all done under the parameters of PG. So it ain't a case of, oh, shit, that stuff's not PG. No, that stuff wasn't tasteful, but it didn't break any laws in terms of race or sex or, mm-hmm. Or bad language or anything like that. It was just untasteful. But the fact is that this fucking carny shit that we watch, this fucking wrestling, it's meant to be fucking distasteful. It's meant to be a case of you building up a guy to high levels of hatred so that the hero comes in and beats him and it means more. I mean, that's basic storytelling. Like, you have, like, an antagonist that you hate, and then, like, you have a good guy that you like, then he beats the antagonist. Sure. And he beats him across the whole fucking country and every house show, right? That's how you sell the house shows and whatnot. I mean, we're coming up to a time where these moments are far and few between, where I don't believe they've treated us like adults with a storyline in the WWE for a long time, other than this fucking Roman stuff, which is why I actually think if you look at it, if you take a step back and look at it comparatively to other heels in the past, it ain't that good. But you're crying out for it now. It's like fucking, if you've been hungry for so long and someone gives you a fucking cheeseburger, like, you don't need it to fucking be from Shake Shack or whatever. You'll take the McDonald's fucking cheeseburger. You haven't eaten for a week. Yeah. So, like, the McDonald's tastes really good. That's what Roman Reigns is right now. I think he could be, in saying that, in his defense, if you put this character in the Attitude Era and you give him license to fucking beat people up till they bleed and say a little bit more and whatever, like, under different parameters, it could be even better. But his acting skills and everything under these conditions still make this so much better than it was. It's something that you look at and go, hey, this doesn't even belong here, because everything else is so shit. When you're looking at Raw in particular, you think that, oh, Roman Reigns is just too good for the company. Whereas actually, when you put him in the Ruthless Aggression Era or Attitude Era or any other time, he would fit in really well and would have license to do even more. That's why you think it's fucking unbelievable. But for me, it's just up there with good heels in the past. But that's the thing. Like, we've got so little to go on. We think that it's, like, amazing. And as I said, when you compare AEW at the moment to Raw, SmackDown, I think, was very good this week still, but obviously it had to be, it was in MSG. But Raw again, like, yes, yeah, so what? Big E's going to win the title at the end. He's going to tell us for the whole show. You have to suffer before you get to that. And whether you care about him winning or not is another thing, because a lot of people don't. I would love to see them get beaten this week. I think also one of the other things is I'm going to a house show on Monday and loads of fucking people are there. So I don't even know who is on Raw this week. I know Drew isn't on Raw this week, that's for sure. I know, actually, let me have a look at the schedule, because I think it's Drew and a couple of Raw guys and then a load of SmackDown guys. So the SmackDown guys, even them, they'll be cutting it tight to get back for Friday. I think they'll be back for the pay-per-view. But I mean, Raw, I can't remember a time where a wrestling show has been as unwatchable as Raw, and you just suffer through it. And my attention span to it is really bad. I'm on the phone working out, like, going through bets, doing researches, and that sometimes, like, you know, I'll watch people who do their YouTubes fight, and I'm trying to like skip to the end of it so I can see what the main point is that they're trying to make, or the main bit of research is. So I fucking turn the WWE down, not pause it. I don't need to hear what they're saying. I just want it to get through in the background. So I'll even turn the fucking sound off and just raise a fucking eyelid at it to make sure and see, is that match finished? Oh, is it over? Oh, is it break? Oh, right. Okay. So it's left on until, like, and then I have to see, and then afterwards we'll see what my memory retains from fucking from the amount of things that made me look up. It's so fucking bad. How is it this bad though? And that's the thing. How are they letting this? Is a whole fucking show that could be done about this. So I'll just leave it as rhetorical as I can. But how do they even let this air? How do they write this script out and go, oh, okay, so we got 25 minutes here. They're going to come out. We're going to go to an ad break at the 11-minute mark, and then they're going to come back and do 13 more minutes. In fact, let's not be hypothetical. Let's go back to last week. How the fuck do you book a tag team turmoil match for 1 hour and then stop it to let those guys go, hey, what we'll do here, we'll finish the match here. We'll give everybody a break, and then we'll put it back on in the main event, and that's an hour and a half done. Yeah, good. You've done an hour and a half. You did book an hour and a half. But what you did is you gave us one match that didn't finish, and then you gave us the second half an hour of it afterwards. And then, after doing all of that, the following week, you didn't even give the fucking match that it built up to. It was like, it was actually the biggest waste of time in the history of fucking wrestling. So I don't even understand how you wrote that show. Who fucking has a tag team turmoil match and decides that we're going to do it for 1 hour, it's not going to finish, and then we're going to finish it in the last half an hour? How is that good television to do that, to have that much meaningless wrestling. It's like, I'd understand it maybe. Maybe if your tag team titles were in a position where it's like, okay, so tonight it's going to be the fucking the Hart Foundation versus the Rougeau Brothers versus Demolition versus the Brainbusters versus the Nasty Boys versus the Rockers, and the winner faces Legion of Doom at the pay-per-view. We ain't there anymore.
Like, that is the problem, like, because I'm like, that I'd actually be interested in the fucking...
Right, exactly. God. Who the fuck are these teams?
But then again, do you think that, I mean, I think it's more nostalgia, because think about those teams. Would we be thrilled with that? Looking back now, we would be, because we're stuck with what we have. But when you go,
we used to get free squash matches in like a main event with where Virgil was in it, and he would lose to fucking someone. Like, it would be like, oh, like the Adam Bomb's going to play face Virgil in the main event or some shit. Yeah. You know? Be like, and then you'd fucking some, and then you'd one week you'd get, all right, Diesel's going to face Razor for the title out of the blue on Superstars, and you'd win the belt.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Like, you didn't know, you still didn't know what was going to be, what was going to happen. And you were never that bothered, because like, hey, 40 minutes if I fast forward through the ads, or you know, or an hour if I'm watching it live, which I usually did anyway. So I was like, who cares? Like, it's not a big investment of time. 3 hours to get slapped around the fucking face with that fucking tag team turmoil match. I couldn't believe that the first hour had gone like that, and then they still didn't finish the match.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as it came out, I knew it was going to go an hour, but then to fucking have Retribution come out and injure all these people, and to injure everybody, and then say, oh, we're going to continue it in the main event. It was fucking, and then you the finish is Lashley and fucking MVP win, and then Lashley gets RKO'd by Orton. So what they decide is that, oh, okay, so Orton RKO'd Lashley, so he deserves a title match on next week's Raw. So fuck that tag team turmoil match that you spent an hour and a half watching. Like, we're going to go straight to the title match. And it's weird, like, how do you not, what's the decision process to turn around and go, we're taking that off the pay-per-view and we're putting that on TV this week, because we need to do what, Ray? What historically tells you that you're going to get a huge number out of that? Because if I'm taking a match off a pay-per-view, a WWE title match, and I'm putting it onto Monday Night Raw, you have to be doing that for, I mean, this is historic. This is a company who, in all of the DVDs that they produce on the WWE Network, I've heavily criticized and ridiculed the fact that just to win 1 week, WCW turned around and put Goldberg and Hogan in the Atlanta, Georgia Dome. Yeah, they put it in the Georgia Dome. It's like, oh, how could you do that? You wasted a whole pay-per-view buy rate. It's like, you do bullshit all of the time. The fact is, though, I mean, they haven't got a buy rate now. I understand that. And that pay-per-view would have been massive. But still, like, at the time, you're in a legitimate war. And it was a difference of, you know, a good fucking 1.5 million people could have swung. In fact, for WCW to win, it probably was over 1 million people that actually did. I don't know what the rating for that show was, but I assure you it was around about 4 something. Like, we're dealing in like fucking microscopic like numbers, where fucking CM Punk pulls in an extra 300,000 people on Rampage, and it's considered a fucking massive success. Have you seen the cards for next week for the Rampage and Dynamite?
Yeah. I saw when they were going through it for everything, like on the show. I couldn't.
WWE deserve to lose next week, and if they that will be the best thing that can happen, because it might fucking inspire any reaction. But the fact is that if you that guy we talked about earlier, the guy from American Top Team, he actually did a real interview with the wrestling with the Dirt Sheets, and he was saying that, I don't watch WWE, it's so bad. I'm even friends with Bobby Lashley, and I don't watch it. Here at AEW, we're doing this, we're doing that. He goes I actually agree. I disagree with some of the stuff we're doing. He goes, because not everything in my promo, because some of the stuff in my promos I do believe in. So he said that. I don't know whether he said it just to, you know, keep character a bit.
Yeah.
But in his interview, he's talking about WWE, and he said, I don't watch it because it's so bad. And he goes, especially because there's an arrogance about it. in terms of, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he did say that he goes, there's an arrogance about them where they think that they're the big show in town and they can't be, they're too big to be criticized, and they know, and their way is the right way of doing things.
And whatever we do, you'll watch because you got nothing. It's a lot of that from them. You could really see a lot of that from them, which, I mean, at the same time, like you're saying, oh, you know, if AEW gets better ratings, but I don't know if they fucking still would be like, well, it's not against us in our time slot, so who cares? Vince is goofy, though, you know?
Why'd they react to it then this week? Why is Bobby Lashley facing Orton this week? Why is the cash in on Monday when they had a pay-per-view match planned? They're already reacting to it.
See, that's the thing. Do you think that's just... And it makes no sense to me, really, other than because they're not head-to-head, you know? So it's like, why would they even have to be like... I don't know. Do you think that was actually to go against the NFL instead?
Well, how can you compete against the NFL?
Well, we know it's nearly impossible. But do you think that's they were trying to get more of their audience by doing that and having that happen instead of watching NFL? Like, it'll draw people over instead of watching a game.
But how is it sustainable? They're going to go, oh, Big E's going to be the champion during the NFL season. I'm not going to watch. It doesn't work. It's never worked on any level. It's just always been a drop-off. But it's a drop-off from a point where you can't afford a drop-off. Like, they are really testing what their core audience is. And I think the biggest takeaway of this whole thing is that we are in approaching October, okay? Mm-hmm. We're in September as we do this. In late July, the crowds came back. So mm-hmm. we've had July to August to August to September. It's been 2 months. It's already back to the Thunderdome numbers. We saw a very, very slight increase. They were convinced that once crowds got back, the shows will got better. These shows ain't better. It makes no fucking 8 weeks in, it makes no difference to me if there were screens in the back or not. Because shit wrestling is shit wrestling. On Raw, it don't make a difference. On SmackDown, it's a good show.
Yeah.
You can hear the crowd as well. The crowd are into like things like when Edge comes out, Roman, you know, gets the right reaction this week with everything on Madison Square Garden needed a crowd. Mm-hmm. And SmackDown, it goes hand in hand. Good show, good crowd. It all goes hand in hand. AEW, their fucking crowds have been unbelievable.
Oh, like beyond.
Singing the fucking songs and being into everything. They're part of the show and they play. And even if they fucking like, I'm sure some of these guys fucking, you turn around these AEW fans. I fucking hate AEW fans on social media. But if you talk to them like privately, I guarantee if you spoke to one of them and go, who do you like the best? And they would go, oh, MJF.
Mm-hmm.
We love
MJF. You appreciate,
But they don't cheer MJF for the show because they play their role properly because they're fucking 100% behind this company. And the way that you get people 100% behind the company is by providing an alternative to what they've grown to like. Hey, WWE has helped this company grow and has helped this fan base act the way they do. Through their fucking hatred of WWE, they become even more passionate about AEW because they want to be passionate about wrestling and WWE haven't got them passionate about anything. They like, in a way, their nostalgia through like Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin and everything, it links on to AEW. It's not the same company, but it's still wrestling. And it's like almost like you want to like something. Like you, even though it's a different company completely, it's not a case of, oh, I must watch WWE because they gave me Hogan and Austin and all the stuff I like. It's like, I just want to carry on watching wrestling in its best, in the best form available, which at the moment is AEW. For me, the loyalty isn't there with WWE. If AEW, I've got CM Punk, I'll go and watch CM Punk. If AEW have got like a fucking massive pay-per-view on, with unbelievable matches that I want to see, I'll try and get to it. For me, it doesn't need to be WrestleMania anymore because the fucking product is so watered down. The thing is that until something WWE will still be number one and until we lose the potential of WWE being the only place where you realistically think, oh, they're going to get Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. That's where The Rock's going to go to face somebody. That's where Cena's going to go back to. Until that changes, where you really see them fucking scoop up some big A-lister on their show, like, I don't know, fucking Steve Austin or Undertaker showed up on there. I don't think Punk is far off, because I think that was the biggest surprise, because he was fully sitting in retirement and he was a guy who cut his career short voluntarily. But, and we're seeing that it makes a big difference, because now they've gone from just under one to holding the ones to possibly challenging this week. But like I said, like the biggest tragedy is not if AEW takes him over. The biggest tragedy is that you navigated your way through the Performance Center and the Thunderdome, and now your viewing audience is exactly the same as it was when you were in the Thunderdome already. So what you've got is a core of WWE people that just watch WWE. And some of them, they fucking hate watch it. They habit watch it. They hate watch and habit watch. It's almost the same thing. It's like
I practically have that. I have it on just because it is a habit, and I get angry while I watch because I'm like, I wish I didn't watch, but it's what I do. And
there's a crossover.
Garbage.
There's a crossover between hate and habit, because like you hate that you have the habit. Like I was like, oh, I hate that. It's like kind of like, oh, I hate that I smoke. I hate that I'm fucking up my lungs. It's like, I hate that I'm fucking up my Mondays. Like, but it's like a habit. It's like, and some people do the other hate watch where it's like they watch it to criticize, but then they almost have got to the point where they enjoy the criticizing part because
it's like me watching the Bears.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So the critical part of it is if when you sit there and send your hateful, critical tweets about a show, that's become a part of your Monday. It's like almost like, hold on a minute, I now enjoy talking about how shit this is on a Monday. Do you know what I mean? It becomes,
I don't know, a
hate watch.
I don't know if I would. I don't think I'd miss saying, oh, this sucks. I would much rather it be something very enjoyable to watch. I mean, it's the same as the fucking Bears is for me. I would rather them be good.
Yeah, I don't think that it's a case of like, oh, you know, you miss saying it's bad. But I think people get what they can. I think social media has made it part of a habit where certain people will do like to just see what the comments are that correspond to the action. But at the same time, you also have this audience that AEW don't have. And it's like these over 50s that somehow have watched wrestling their whole lives. And they're just not going to stop. Like, they're just going to be like, you know what? I'm 20 years from being dead. And I've done this for 40 of them. So I ain't stopping now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're like, why bother? I mean, I would like to see, because if something does happen and there's a big surprise, I don't want to fucking find out and then have to go back. That's not a surprise anymore.
No, like you guys ruined the fucking Big E cashing for me on the group chat.
That's so. The problem. I've been ruined plenty of times by you motherfuckers. Now it's my time. So
when did I ruin you?
Oh, you've ruined it a few times. But I know. I was always like, motherfucker. And it's not, obviously, you're not trying to. But I would see conversation or whatever, and like I hadn't watched pay-per-view yet or something, where if I know I'm going to be away and not watching something on time and I care, then I'll mute the conversation so I don't get fucking... And I'll tell you guys, hey, I'm not going to be around, so if you want to get a hold of me, you have to message me on the side because I won't see this. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of times, though, you'll see me say something and not say something, though, because I don't want to spoil if anybody... Because back in the day, you used to stay up. Now you're like, fuck it, why would you stay up for this trash?
I watched AEW last night.
Yeah, see, it's if it matters, then it's different.
I fell asleep during the Ty Dillinger and
Darby Allin. See, that's where we're still stuck with WWF.
No, and it wasn't a bad match. I watched it back today. I just fell asleep just because it was just so late, and
you're on a different time zone. So
I mean, and that's the thing. Sometimes, like with that, after I've seen what Punk is doing, which was going through the table and setting up that match, but I mean, we're out of time now because this was supposed to be pretty much shorter than this.
Yeah,
but
I laugh because the Duchess goes, how long are you recording? I go, he says a half hour, so probably an hour.
Yeah, but I want to talk about the booking on that show, fucking Brian coming straight in and facing Omega, and what they're doing with Punk, because Brian's going straight in for the belt and Punk's doing the slow thing of like,
yeah, because that's when he'll win it actually, instead of the guy who just walks in and gets a fucking anytime they do that, you know they're not winning shit.
So you don't think Brian has any chance of winning in the tennis stadium next Wednesday to pop their rating?
No. No, I don't. I think there'll be some bullshit that happens where, you know, people interfere and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it is a great idea to have him win it, have MJF beat him, and then Punk beat MJF. But I don't know if they're going that quickly to it.
I can see it happening in the fucking stadium, though. And I can see, I mean, you could even, I think in this moment in time when you're engaged in this ratings thing and you're trying to increase your numbers and you're trying to get visibility there, I think having Brian as your champion helps. And then you can get back to the next pay-per-view and get it to Omega. And I think that, so I'm all for that. Hey, he's the fucking 1 year champion or 18 month champion. I think that works great. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes, like, you know, he's been champion for about 10 months now, I think. So if he does lose it and he loses it to Daniel Bryan, and everybody in WWE know that Daniel Bryan's got that belt, they'll come over and watch. And then he wins it back at the next pay-per-view. You're back to exactly where you are. Or, like you said, there's a heel who's like way, way hotter than him. I think he's done his whole thing of like, oh, I'm the best wrestler in the world and all that. I mean, the Young Bucks lost their belt. So he can then go on to other things and have all of his other matches. The combination of matches there are just fucking crazy. Because, I mean, Brian could win it and then Cole could go after Brian's belt temporarily as well. He goes, oh, I'll bring this back to the Elite. And then he could lose too. Or he could win it and he could face CM Punk. Cole could win it back for them or MJ. Like, the matches, the good thing that they do over there is that one or two of these matches are getting thrown away on TV on specials like this fucking Arthur Ashe Stadium, okay? Mm-hmm. But more or less, like, if it ain't in a fucking stadium or it ain't at a pay-per-view, you're not getting these fucking combinations of matches, and you're not getting them where they turn around and go, oh, tonight you're going to see this or whatever. It's going to be like 2-3 weeks build, and the combinations are fucking crazy. And they're not going to be like doing what WWE did, which is blow through all these matches on TV and they don't mean anything. Like, when fucking Adam Cole faces Punk or Brian faces Adam Cole or MJF faces Punk or whatever, it's going to be with loads of build at a pay-per-view or on a fucking TV special. Like, every single match, the match builds and the anticipation is going to be done properly. Mm-hmm. It's like that thing that Bischoff said on his DVD, is it Sarsa?
On what?
It's DVD that you told me to watch.
Yeah. What about it? It's on the network.
Yeah. And it says, and he's got this booking formula called Sarsa. And it's like, I forget what it means.
It's an acronym for something. Yeah. I don't
know. Yeah.
One
of them's like, anticipation is like the second A.
And which is first fucking true, because that's what I would like. I would like a build. I don't need to have my fucking shit tomorrow. If I order something in the mail, I would like it tomorrow. Not on my fucking programs. Give me a fucking slow burn here. Make it fucking, they fucking would do months before pay-per-views before in WWE. Fucking, how long did they burn that fucking Macho Man story with Hogan? Christ.
No, and now you gotta fucking do Finn Balor and Roman on TV first before you fucking then bring the Demon out. And then you gotta fucking do Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley on TV.
Yeah, it's about a week. That's about it. I think it's at the worst 2 weeks. That's what you have. It's 2 weeks before at least they just announce that the match is going to happen at least. So you're like, all right, well, we're going to get this match. As soon as anybody goes face-to-face, you know we're having a match. And you know it's most likely at the worst by the next pay-per-view.
Do you remember when Daniel Bryan was just facing everybody on fucking TV with like no notice? He was fucking facing Nakamura on a SmackDown, like just unannounced, and Owens, and for even lost to like Adam Cole 1 week when the NXT people came over when WWE was stuck in Saudi. Yeah. And they just was like, oh, we'll just do Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, there was only a couple people in the States. Yeah, Jesus. All right. Well, we've done an hour for everybody. And we hope you enjoyed that we were back with this show. It's a special treat because usually it's only right before pay-per-view and after, but a lot of shit happened and we might turn it into an AEW show. And see, because we gave praise, we didn't fucking shit on it, so it's not like we just looked to fucking talk trash. We fucking like them. They and originally we did talk a lot of shit on them because it was fucking, it was bad. Their storylines were just as shit. Now they got, you know, reputable guys. So it kind of like holds water too.
They've never had shit storylines. It's just a case of I didn't like the people. Like, they've always gone slowly to the matches. I just didn't like the people that they were pushing in terms of a lot of smaller guys. But now
they're small.
It looks like legit. I mean, the presentation of, I don't even like the guy, but fucking Malakai Black, like at the moment you could build around that and he could be, there's no fucking way that he should lose that rematch to Cody, because that's
going to be what's going to be sad. Cause I'm waiting for that for sure. Cody gets his win back, you know, cause it's the, I mean, in real life, if it wasn't Cody, I wouldn't be upset by it because it's, oh, the good guy get fucked over and he's gone for a while and finally comes back to get his fucking revenge. That's the proper, of course, the storyline. But just that it's Cody, of course, and giving the first loss to him, you know, all that shit.
Yeah, so they should move away from that and they should basically give Malakai back the proper win because, yeah, you can... You know, Cody can take a break and he can come back into something else or whatever, or somebody can help Malakai Black win this. I don't know how you get out of it now. You do seem pretty tied into one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And if you go 2-0, you do somehow damage Cody.
Rosario Dawson is mixed tag and bring Thea, his wife, in.
No, she's stuck at WWE.
Yeah, I know, but, you know. they'll let her sit on the shelf instead of letting her go anywhere.
Listen, we'll do it. We'll fucking do a show about this company properly, like in terms of through their stories and characters, because it's always mixed in with, you know, the whole wrestling show picture, and it's always a case of we cover it from the extent of, oh, how are they compared to WWE and how are they affecting WWE? Whereas independently, it's a fucking solid show with like the solid. I haven't really liked Dynamite. I found it like to be difficult to watch apart from the last 2 weeks. When now it's a case of, all right, we got so many talents that we can't just have them all fucking wrestling. So we're mixing it up with a lot more fucking talking and promos and building up to shit. And it's a lot fucking better.
I really want them to do a special on Monday. I really want to fucking see that one time where they go, oh, just for, you know, one night only, we're going to fucking, we're switching over to Monday. Maybe to do it during basketball or something. You know, oh, we got to go over here. Like, as an excuse. I want to see them fucking... win. But that's the problem. If they get fucking their ass handed to them, then you go, fuck. Because like TNA said, fuck it, we're going against you guys. And they weren't even close to fuck it. It was like, fuck off.
Yeah, but that's the thing. WWE had Bret and fucking Shawn Michaels back on that night and everything. And they actually had stuff. And it wasn't that resentment from them. But here it'd be like, you know, you'd have all the people on social media be like, oh, this is going on the other side and whatever. Like, it would be marketed in a way where you are encouraged to change a channel, and you would know that there is something on the other side. And the thing is that's the thing. Like with Raw, there wasn't really, again, it wasn't always great, but you weren't incentivized back then. Remember, it was a 2-hour show as well back in 2010 when TNA decided to go against them. There wasn't that incentive to change the channel during those 2 hours where you would go, oh, this is fucking boring. Like, I want to change the channel, right? Mm-hmm. So there wasn't that. But here it's like, what are you watching? You're watching fucking, you're not going to miss anything in these fucking tag matches that don't mean anything.
And you know, if they were against each other for one night, they would try to pull out every fucking stop possible to fucking, but then the next time it would be right back to fucking garbage.
No, I think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong in terms of the endeavor, but I think you're wrong in terms of, I don't think WWE have got anything to pull out. I don't think they know how to do it.
Austin and fucking Undertaker would be on that fucking show, and maybe The Rock. They do everything humanly possible that one night just to fuck
what?
Over AEW.
Doing what? Fucking Austin
just showing up.
Stunning Elias or some shit. Like, they don't know how to do anything good.
Yeah, I forgot about Elias with his burning of the fucking... I wonder if they forgot.
They forgot, like, they forgot about Tony Storm. Who then fucking...
Yeah, Tony Storm disappeared. Like,
who wrestled one match and then was off for 4 weeks, and then she was sitting on the box. Dolph Ziggler told her to come out to the ring, and she was like, no, I can't do it. I can't. I like
watching Rick whatever. Rick Boogs.
Like, You can still go out there though. That doesn't really make any sense.
She's sitting on a box. She's sitting on her pussy. I'm gonna go watch that video again where she's playing with it. That's a good video. She got all fingers in there too. She got a whole hand fucking in there. So that might be something.
That wouldn't do anything for me either.
All right. Well, that is it. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to see all my nonsense, go to @LingusMafia. And it's Lingus Mafia is on Twitter and on Patreon. I can't even think. I've done too many fucking shows today. It's patreon.com/LingusMafia. And this show is @RealDirtySheets. So please do give a follow and let's get this Twitter rolling. And not to say anything else, but very special guest. Very special guest confirmed for podcast on a poll right after the pay-per-view. So be sure to tune into podcast on a poll. I promise you. I'm Cav Manning. That's Billy Body. We're out of time.
My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as a big-ass piece of shit.